today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
It's Open Phone Friday on Bob Burney Live, and we will continue on the phones. Next up, we're headed to Chillicothe, and we're going to talk to Luther. Hey, Luther, welcome. You're on Bob Burney Live.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to bring your memory back to when Dick Celeste was the governor.
Do you really want to do that?
Well, he put the women in the prisons and law enforcement, really, that he had to lower the physical standards to qualify for the job. And I believe that's a lot of why these killings have to happen, because they're not physically strong enough to, you know, stop these people that's breaking the law and doing things. They have to use deadly force because, you know, the standard is so low for their physical strength that they have no choice. I think they ought to put it back the way it was before, where you had to be physically strong enough to handle these situations.
Well, I tell you, there have been so many reforms. Many of them needed, Luther. I don't think any of us would endorse or encourage unjustified force in any way, shape, or form. I think many of the reforms have been needed, but others have literally tied the hands of police so that they're afraid to do what they probably should do. And I think the public is in greater danger because of their reticence to take any kind of action. Today, what police officer in their right mind would open fire? And I say this advisedly, carefully, and with great compassion, but what police officer in their right mind would open fire on a black person today, knowing that even if it was absolutely, unquestionably justified, it could set off nationwide riots and looting and so forth? So I am for police reform where and when it is needed, but not knee-jerk reactions. And, yeah, I think Celeste made so many bad decisions. His governorship was almost a total disaster.
Well, I mean, the policies were from the liberals, and this is what has come out of that, and now they're blaming us and wanting us to do something about it when they're the one that made these stupid decisions that a woman could be in a position where she couldn't handle somebody, she'd have to use deadly force for a man that wasn't qualified to do the job.
Well, I think that's a valid point, Luther. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good weekend down in Circleville, all right?
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Northwest Columbus and talk to Mike. Mike, you're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome.
Well, that's interesting. The last caller, I witnessed something in Columbus showed on TV where you had an officer that she didn't really have the power to settle the person down, and she had a weapon drawn for a guy getting mad because of a car wreck, and a more experienced big police officer came up. He told the guy to behave. The guy wouldn't. He tased him, and that was it. But that does happen. Luther does have a point.
Yeah.
There's a PBS series called Frontline, and they're talking about election 2020, and they're being very dishonest about Joe Biden's medical issues. I mean, it's obvious he's having some issues speaking and, you know, and conversing. He had a aneurysm, I think 7 years ago, like that, where he, not more than 7 years ago, where he missed work for 7 months, and he has arrhythmia, so he has some issues that affect his cognitive ability.
Well, at times, Mike, at times he seems completely lucid and with it, and at other times he seems completely out of it. But, you know, we are so very, very close to an election. I don't believe in my entire lifetime, which is longer than yours, I don't think I have ever seen a presidential candidate this close to an election with such a low-key strategy for campaigning. As I said, the last 3 days, he has been done, finished over at noon, and nothing else the rest of the day. Nothing. Is that because of his physical condition? I don't know, but I've never seen anything like it.
No, me neither. Well, what PBS is trying to, they're trying to attribute this to his stuttering issue when he was younger. Now, he did have a stuttering issue when he was younger, but he got over it. As long as I've been paying attention to politics for about 20 years, he hasn't stuttered. He got over it. They're, in the frontline story, they're trying to attribute his issues to the stuttering. Mm. That's not stuttering what he's doing now.
Well, no, and again, what I don't understand is that sometimes he seems completely lucid, and then the next time he's in outer space, he's not making sense, he's falling all over himself, he can't form sentences together, he gets confused where he's at. So I don't know, Mike, but the mainstream media is not looking into it, and they should.
Yeah.
They should.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, is he getting shots for that? Maybe he's getting some kind of injection.
I don't know. Donald Trump has suggested that. So I don't know. I don't know. Hey, Mike.
Okay, see you, Bob.
Good to talk to you. Thanks. Let's go to Charles in Columbus is up next. Charles, welcome. You're on Bob Rennie Live.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Charles, I am well today. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, praise the Lord. The last conversation was interesting. It's like the tea kettle calling the pot black. But anyway, this is why I called. I want to talk about the travesty of justice that we saw this past Wednesday in the Breonna Taylor murder. And I want to relate that to some things you were rambling about a couple of weeks ago with Jacob Blake, where you pretty much said he was responsible for his own attempted murder. And he was responsible for putting his children in danger. Then I want to tie that in all into Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, we talked a few weeks ago about how when it comes to Black America, conservatives, in particular, white evangelicals are always on the wrong side of the law. I'm going to use those three to
always
prove my point.
Always?
Majority of the time, yeah.
The majority of the time, white evangelicals are on the wrong side of the law.
Yeah, when it comes to Black
So the majority of my audience are lawbreakers. You're calling the majority of my audience lawbreakers.
In that context, yes. Yes, I am. In that context.
Wow.
The context is I just push up.
Okay,
so
all right.
Allow me to go it on. Okay, so we have three cops break into someone's house, black couple, kills a black woman, she's asleep, okay?
She wasn't asleep. She was standing beside the guy who shot at the police first.
She was asleep, Bob. I'm not going to go back.
She was standing in the hallway next to her boyfriend.
I'm not going to go back. Well, the point
I'm not going to let you go on the air and misrepresent things.
The point is they broke and killed an innocent person. That's what I'm trying to make.
I do believe she was innocent, but they had a search warrant and they announced themselves.
No, they did not. Okay. Let me stop right there for a moment. Let's look at the logic of that. They get a no-knock search warrant.
They did not have a no-knock search warrant. They did not have a no-knock search warrant.
They did not have a no-knock search warrant. Let me go on. I'm not going to argue with you back and forth.
I'm going to
cut you off.
Well, at least tell the truth.
Whoa. No, I'm telling the truth. You don't want.
No,
to
you're me. Not.
You had.
Have you read the grand jury report?
Well, that's a whole different story. You had 13 witnesses of the 13, there was only one heard. There was only one witness that said we heard the officer announce himself. The other 12 said no, we didn't hear anything. Okay, but the point that I'm trying to make is that they broke in the house, illegally, and they were incompetent because the person they were looking for was already in custody. So they were incompetent. Also, they broke and they killed an innocent woman, black woman. Okay, let's go to Jacob Blake. And you just proved my point. You was in the service.
Wait. Before we go to Jacob Blake, okay, give me one shred of evidence that the unfortunate killing of Breonna Taylor had anything to do with race. Give me one shred of evidence that race had anything to do with it whatsoever.
The person they was looking for was black. They knew she was black. Okay, they knew that because they surveilled. They knew she was black.
But that's okay. All right, Charles, I'm out of time. Thanks for the call. You have a right to your own opinion, but you don't have a right to your own truth. Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll continue with all of you lawbreakers in my audience. That was interesting. All right, we'll be back.
Bob Burney Live, looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Phone lines have been very busy today. And I love that. Whether you agree, disagree, I love the phone calls. I love the conversation. I love the interaction. Even if it at times gets interesting. I don't like for my audience to be called bad names. I don't like that because I am very protective of you folks. White, black, Asian. And I keep saying this. I think most of you would be absolutely amazed at the diversity of my audience. I have an extremely diverse audience. And I'll leave it at that. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Grove City, and we're going to talk to Paul. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Bob, old buddy. Always good to talk to you on Open Phone Friday.
Well, you as well. I am waiting with bated breath to hear what Paul has to say. You know, one time, Aaron, my former producer, and I looked up what it means to have bated breath, and I can't remember now what it was. I'll have to look it up again. I don't remember.
I'm sure the masses notice I didn't say messes. I said masses, Bob. Masses.
Yeah, the masses. I mean, yeah.
I'm sure they get the same notifications I do about who, is voting or not voting, but, you know, money. The money that each of these congresspeople, senators need, and they're all really good. I love seeing these young folks. You know, the guy in the wheelchair and the young lady from Baltimore and the Navy SEAL guy up in New York, all these people. But, man, I'm telling you, what concerns me is the Democrats of how much money is coming in, Bob. And it's like makes me wonder, is the money that's coming in from that, Lindsey Graham. I've seen Lindsey Graham. You know, he's only got like $13 million compared to like $100 million this one guy has got
Paul, you have missed in a very important fact. The Republicans are the ones that go for the millionaires. It's only the Republicans that hang around the rich people. Democrats hang around the ghetto. I mean, that's the only place they go is to poor families, poor communities. You know, don't you know that, Paul? What's the matter with you?
Bob, I can't believe I didn't give out a thought.
But that is the narrative, and yet look at the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that are coming in to the Biden campaign, the Nancy Pelosi campaign. You know, these Democrats are rolling in money, and it all comes from poor working class people. All of it.
It's just concerning to me, man. And I'm like, this is the first election that I've actually ever given to the Republican Party, period. I mean, I am that concerned about what in the world could happen, because I think it was the guy, what the heck, I always enjoying Frank. Yeah, Frank. Not to be like Frank here at this point, but I know the one time he called in and he was concerned about the, you know, what direction this thing, it's not going to be good neither way, you know, with things. And I know we're not supposed to lose hope. Our pastor.
No. Yeah. You know, and I want to continue to repeat this between now and the election. Yeah. We as Americans, we as conservatives are concerned about our religious freedom, our religious liberty, our constitutional rights. We are deeply concerned about those things. But, Paul, let me tell you something that is more important. The gospel.
Yeah.
That's more important. The gospel. And no matter who is elected in this next election, President, Senate, House of Representatives, and so forth, the gospel cannot be stopped. The gospel will still be the answer. And historically, when things get bad, the gospel becomes more powerful. So I'm not wishing that things get worse, but historically, we've got to interpret the news not according to freedom and liberty. We have to, but more importantly, we have to interpret the news in light of the gospel. That has got to be our primary focus.
Yeah, and when you just said, Bob, it caught me, because I think it was John Maxwell who gave a heck of a message at a prayer breakfast for the nation about that, where he said that after every bad thing that's happening in Scripture, I think it was in Old Testament, there was something that was really great that came from it.
Yeah, so. I began the program today with a brand new survey indicating that the liberal churches across America are declining even faster than they were. But smaller Bible-believing churches are experiencing growth. They're experiencing growth right now in the middle of this COVID thing, because people are looking for answers, and they're going to find the answers at Bible-believing churches. That's good news. Hey, Paul.
Amen.
Thanks. Have a great weekend, all right?
God bless you, brother.
You as well, and I hope all of you have a wonderful weekend. Somehow, some way, be involved in a good Bible-believing church, either in person or online, and remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.